2 Thessalonians 2 really is just a continuation of the first letter. And we're going to see that in this chapter, Paul gets to the heart of the matter of why he's writing the second letter to this church. He's writing to comfort the church, to comfort those who are troubled. He's addressing, again, the question that's really raised in the first letter, where he writes to the church that he doesn't want them to be ignorant when it comes to the coming of the Lord. And so what had happened, as we've said, that Paul clearly taught then. I mean, he was only with them for 3 weeks, and part of the gospel, part of his discipling of them in those 3 weeks was he clearly taught that Jesus was going to come back for them. As Paul had left and gone on, those in the church were passing, they were dying. And so there was this whole idea that Jesus hadn't come back. Well, those that have passed, are they missing out on this event? Are they missing out on this blessing of Jesus' return? What's happening? And so they were troubled. They were upset. They didn't know, you know, what was occurring. And so Paul, again, writes this second letter, in a sense, as a supplement, you know, to further answer these questions. So let's just read it and go down through here. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you. It's amazing that in this first verse, Paul seems to indicate that there are two events here. He says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is coming again. Now, he's coming for the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we talked about that. Right? He's coming for the church. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be a trumpet blast. Jesus is going to come, and he's going to remain in the clouds. And those who are dead in Christ are going to come, be coming with him. We who are alive and remain are going to be caught up, going to be snatched out. Clearly, go and meet him, what? In the air. And so we shall forever be with him. Revelation 19, Jesus comes again. This time when Jesus comes, very distinct differences. He comes as a warrior, doesn't he? He comes riding a white horse with the armies of the Lord with him. With the church. The church is with him. You know, I know that some of you, Doug and Carrie, you know, last summer was at Miracle Mountain Ranch and was around horses, you know, the whole summer. Some of us maybe have never ridden a horse. Well, the Bible says we're going to ride a horse. We're going to come back with Jesus. You know, we're going to be a part of that coming. Now, when he comes again, he's going to come and literally his feet, he's going to return literally to the earth, to the very place that he left. He's going to establish his kingdom on this earth. He's going to reign as king for 1,000 years. Satan will be locked up. And for 1,000 years, he'll reign on this earth. Those are kind of the two, you know, distinctives of, or the two different, you know, the differences between these two comings. So now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together to him, we ask you, don't be soon shaken in mind. They were troubled
The word that Paul uses, shaken, is a word that would have been used of a ship that was out at sea. And it's in a storm, and it's just being driven and tossed to and fro. Don't be shaken, troubled suddenly and violently in your mind. Or that second thing, trouble, just it speaks of a continuing and continual upsetting. Don't be shaken. Don't be continually in a state of upset, either by spirit, by word, or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. And so what's the issue? What's the question here? The question again is, we as a church, are we in the, we believe, we're thinking, we're in the day of Christ. You know, people are passing. We know what Paul said about him, you know, the Lord coming. And so, wow, what is going on here? You know, have we missed the blessing of the coming of the Lord, and are we in the day of the Lord? Are we in this time period? And we're going to see that really the day of the Lord, these people were really thinking that they were experiencing the day of God, the day of judgment, the tribulation of the Lord, that they were going through this time that was just going to be a horrible time. They were troubled. Now, how did they come to this? Well, after Paul left, immediately there were those that came. We don't know, but he says that they either came to this by spirit, word, or letter, however you want to interpret that. You know, I interpret that as people coming and saying, I had somebody in my office this week. Well, the Lord's told me. That's interesting. What's the Lord told you? Well, they go down through all these things the Lord's told them. What did the Lord tell them, or didn't the Lord tell them? Oh, we're to try everything. We're to test everything. We're to evaluate everything. Boy, it better be something that's in the Word, or the Lord ain't told them. You know, so it's just all these weird things. That's what I was meaning. All this weird stuff. Oh, didn't you look at so-and-so on the internet? Don't you ever watch? I said, nah. I stay off that. Well, they're a prophet. Oh, how do you know that? You tried them? You tested them? They're predicting this, that, and the other. What's their you know, success rate? What have they spoken that's come true? What has been fulfilled that they're speaking, that they're, you know, oh, the Lord told me. And so maybe it came that way. You know, I don't know. By word. Maybe they came in, they were preaching other things. So we shouldn't be shaken in mind or troubled because you know, somebody said, oh, the Lord told me, or the Spirit, that's a favorite thing. The Spirit has given me insight or revelation. The Spirit will give you and I. Nothing is hidden. Nothing is secret again. You know, the Spirit will speak to you and teach you just like He'll teach anybody. And He'll never teach. Again, when the Spirit teaches too, and when the Spirit reveals, and the Spirit's ministry is really onefold. And that's to testify of Jesus. So it's gotta glorify Jesus. It's gotta exalt Jesus. When the Spirit is moving, it's never gonna exalt an individual or a ministry or some weird odd thing. It's all about Jesus. And if it isn't about Jesus, it isn't the Spirit. It's a flesh. It's just a bunch of baloney. You know, and that's what you see a lot of times. It's just emotionalism. It's just drawing. It's really a fleshly, worldly thing. The people want attention. They want a following. They want people to look up to them, and so on. And so they do these things, and so it's never
of the Spirit if it glorifies or exalts anything other than Jesus. And so that's how I kind of perceive this or understand this. Word, somebody coming in, actually teaching, false teachers. Yeah, you see that today. I mean, that's not unusual. When Paul left, these false teachers came in and they wanted to pervert, you know, and really put these people back in bondage. You know, they had just been freed from sin and freed from bondage. And then he says, not only by word, but by letter. They must have, you know, written to them, you know, sharing different things. Or maybe they left their sermon notes. Maybe they made outlines. You know, however, you know, they were writing things that weren't true. And so what was the troubling over? We've missed this event and we're in this troubling time. Remember, they were under intense persecution. Something, I mean, not even close to anything we've, you know, somebody looks at us funny or calls us a name or, you know, won't talk to us anymore. It's not that. They were hunting them down, trying to kill them. They would have killed them if they would have killed Paul. He would have got his hands on him. And so it's a really intense persecution. And so, man, are we in a tribulation? Really, that's what's going on here. So Paul goes on in verse 3, and he said, "Let no one deceive you by any means." You know, we got to realize there's all kinds of things out there. You know, that we can, and I think there are people, you know, calling themselves Christians and even pastors, they're knowingly deceiving people. I think that's their game. And most of it, I think, is just for money and fame. But, I mean, those two powerful things, aren't they? And so Paul says, "Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come." All right, so what Paul is saying, if we're in this day, all right, if we're in the day of the Lord, then there are certain things that are going to be present. Certain signs are going to exist. And so let's look at them. The day of Christ. The day, really in the original, it is the day of the Lord. And if you look in the Old Testament, that's always, again, the day of that God's going to come. The day of judgment and tribulation. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come." These things will be present. Paul's kind of asking, putting forth a thing. You know, look at your life. Are these things current? Are these things happening? That will tell you whether you're in the day of the Lord or not. You're in the tribulation or not. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come." Number one, unless the falling away comes first. The falling away. I like that. The fact that that article is there. It's an event. It's a specific thing that's going to take place. Unless what? The falling away comes first. What is it? What's the falling away? Really, there's two views. It definitely speaks of a departure from something. It definitely speaks, I think it's a departure and a rebellion, a going back. Unless the falling away comes first. Is he saying that there are going to be those who have had a propensity to maybe following the things of God? And there comes a time that they're going to depart from that following. I mean, again, it's not totally exactly defined. I think that that could be part of it. A falling away of those who had a sense of following the things of God. Or is he just speaking of a general, like worldwide, falling and departure, rebellion? It's not specifically, I think he could be really,
Sound doctrine.
Yeah, we'll read that. I was going to read that. Yeah, I think it's both. I do. Those that claim that they're following God, and no way are they. Let's just look at a couple. Again, 1 Timothy 4. I think this could be part of it. Look at 1 Timothy 4. Just flip up there. 1 Timothy 4. This definitely speaks of a falling away here. Of a turning. Of a departure. Now the Spirit expressly says it in the latter times. In the last days. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. There's a falling away. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. I always like these verses. Just know this, that in the last days, ferocious, fierce times will come. The word in the Greek actually pictures, it's like a lion has its prey cornered. That's how bad this is. That prey is going to get ripped apart. And those are the kind of days that are going to exist in the last days. Know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, he goes on. You know, just listing these things. Having a form of godliness, denying its power. Despisers of good. Isn't it funny, even today we see these things. You know, good's bad and bad's good. I can't believe, you know, some of the stuff that's going on today. You know, they've totally, again, our society, the definition of marriage has been redefined. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. And how old is that definition? Totally been redefined. The family's totally been redefined. And now, guess what? Sex, gender has been redefined. There's no... That's just an amazing thing to me. What's it based on? What is this based on? You know, I have certain body parts. I'm either a woman or a man. But yet, I can decide now, if I have man body parts, I'm a woman. You talk about scary. I mean, you talk about, wow. It is weird. Ooh. Look at chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Look at verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's what was said. According to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers what are telling them what they want to hear. You're okay. You're good. You're a victim. You're whatever they're telling you. That's a lot. You know, they're telling us that stuff. They'll turn ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And really what Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, he's writing, you know, Timothy writes here. Man, don't give in to those things. Be persistent, endure, stand fast. You know, stick in there, you know, with the Lord. Don't be dissuaded by these things. And so, let no one deceive you, going back to Thessalonians 2, that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And so what we have to decide is, you know, did the falling away come first? Right? You know, these are some of the things that are going to take place. Second, the man of sin is revealed. Has the man of sin been revealed? No. All right. So the man of sin. Now, some have written. I'm trying to think of who it was. It might have been some of the reformers. I don't know. They believe that the man of sin was a system. And you can read, you know, what they write. They really, most of them point to the Roman Church, Roman Catholicism, and the popes and so on. But again, I don't think that you can say that is what this is. You know, I think you have to take it for what it says. The man of sin. And so here's this man. I think he's a real man. He's an individual, not a system. The man of sin is revealed. And I think it's clear that we're looking at the Antichrist. That the Antichrist is going to be revealed. You can go back. Daniel talks about the revealing of this man of sin. Daniel 9:26, 8:23, and 11:36 through 45. Jesus talks about him. This man of sin, he's the ultimate personification of the spirit of Antichrist. Look at 1 John. Go to 1 John. Two and three. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. There we go. Test the spirits. You know, when I watch TV, when I sit and listen to, you know, whether you call it a sermon or a teaching or whatever you want, when I turn on the internet, we're told, test the spirits. Test the spirits, whether they're of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There's a lot of people saying whatever they want to say. Again, they want an audience. They want a following. And so they'll say, you know, what gains a following? What can gain an audience? Sometimes it's like if I can speak or find the weirdest things or again I lift myself up and make myself out to be someone that I'm the only one that can hear from God. And guess what? I've heard from God. And so you just better listen. You gotta test the spirits. Again, there's nothing. God's not hiding stuff from you, and he's not hiding stuff from me. I don't see that anywhere in the scriptures. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where it says that there's any revelation that's hidden from you and I. Right? Is that a right statement, in your opinion? Jim?
Well, there's the seven thunders in Revelation, aside from that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just truths. I mean, truths that matter for my salvation and my walking with Jesus and living for Jesus.
Peter says we have everything we need.
Yeah, everything. So, yeah, there's things, I don't know, just what we talked about. I don't know when the rapture is going to occur, and you don't either. Now, it's interesting that anybody puts a date to that an hour. Bible has something to say about that. Can't do it. And so there are things like that. But what I'm saying, again, is and it's very easy, you know, for me to come up with, well, not for me, it'd be really hard, but boy, some of the stuff is just like, wow, where do you get this stuff? We're just commanded to test. Why? Because I think we need to recognize that. Many false prophets are already gone out. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Which you've heard was coming and is already in the world. And so even John, first century, was saying the spirit of Antichrist is already here. Already in the world. Certainly the spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. But the man of sin has not been revealed. He could be in the world, but he hasn't been revealed. At some point, he's going to be in the world. You know, if it's within our lifetimes, he's alive right now. If not, maybe he's not been born yet. Again, I don't know the timing of these things. So the man of sin, he'll be revealed. He's what? The very personification of sin. What else does he say back in Thessalonians 2 there? The son of perdition. What's that mean? He's the son, he's the man of sin, the son of perdition. He's a person of destruction. It's literally what that word means. Man, he's straight out of hell. I mean, that's literally, you know, where this guy is. So, unless the falling away comes first, unless the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, and then there's some characteristics about him. Look at what he does. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or this worshipped. What's he saying? This man of sin, once he's revealed, is going to claim to be God. He's going to exalt himself above God. He's God. He's going to demand to be worshipped. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He's actually going to go into the temple. The word for the temple there is he's going to go into the Holy of Holies and say, I'm God, you must worship me. Didn't Daniel talk about that? Didn't Daniel talk about a time that was going to occur? What did he call that time? He said that it was going to be an abomination. And that the most holy place would be desecrated. The abomination of desolation. This man goes in and desecrates the most holy place. So that tells me a couple other things. There's going to be a temple. Worship is going to be going on in that temple. Interesting that Paul, he's told these people these things. Like when I think of this, they believed these things. And so when you have people talk like about the rapture and, you know, that it's kind of a fairy tale and certain things like this, boy, these people didn't believe that. They believe. Paul taught them you know, these truths, and they believed them. They were so upset. Why were they upset? Because they felt that it had bypassed them. That's how upset they were. That's how real this was to them. And so Paul, what's he writing to me? Don't be troubled. Don't be upset. Don't continue to be agitated and anxious over these things. Have these things occurred? No. You're not in that period of the day of the Lord. That's yet to come. Showing himself again, establishing himself as God. Do you not remember, look at verse 5, that when I was still with you, I told you these things? I guess I already, wow, how funny. Paul clearly taught them the truth concerning, you know, this time and these events. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. So Paul then goes on and he's saying that, you know, just at the right time, you know, it's all God's timing, really, isn't it? This all happened when the one that's restraining is taken out of the way. It's interesting to me, not removed. I've heard like different ones say, well, he's going to be removed, that the Holy Spirit's going to be, and that's who he's talking about. The Holy Spirit is restraining. You know, what in the world keeps us, mankind, from just total atrocity in every way, shape, and form? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit restraining. The Holy Spirit in the world. How's the Holy Spirit in the world? Through the church? Right? What's a church? Who's a church? You, me. There's going to come a time the church is going to be taken out. Taken out of the way. Are people going to get saved during the tribulation? Yeah. Going to be martyred. So, now you know what's restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be, look at the words he has for this, the man of sin, the man of perdition, the lawless one. Kind of gives you an idea what this guy's all about, right? Then trying to find my place. Then the lawless one who will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. What's that sound like? Does that sound like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Doesn't sound like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to me. I read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, again, a trumpet, blast, a shout, a voice, and Jesus coming in the clouds. Boy, I go to Revelation 19, I read something totally different. Right? The Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth the brightness of his coming. I mean, there's a little nuance there, but what? The sword that proceeds out of his mouth, what? Bam. It's over. It's done. Second coming. So he's going to be revealed, and we know that the total revealing, there's a period of 7 years of tribulation, and halfway into that, that's when he stands up in the tent and goes into that temple and establishes himself as God. 3.5 years in. A lawless one, as he's revealed, then the Lord will destroy him. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. That's interesting, because when I go back and think of those John passages we read, and also the Timothy passages, if there's angels of light who are not really angels of light, they're angels of darkness. If Satan is a masquerader, an imitator, a deceiver, well, isn't it interesting? Yeah. Didn't the magicians back in Exodus, when Moses was dealing with the deliverance of the people coming out of Egypt, didn't they do some pretty amazing things? Yeah. So this individual, he's going to do some pretty amazing things. He's going to have power. He's going to perform signs. We could say he's going to be a miracle worker. Do some pretty amazing things. And wonders, but they're false. I like the Holy Spirit, lying wonders. Paul's saying, have you seen these things? Has this lawless one been revealed? Totally. The work of Satan. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know, the unbeliever, the ones that have not trusted in Jesus, they're going to be captivated by this. You know, totally give themselves over to this. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. I just think of Romans 1 when I read this. And that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, and when you read this thing, I wasn't going to take all, you know, next 4, 5, 6 weeks do Revelation. I mean, again, if you want to define some of it, I mean, you've got to go through. Look at what happens in Revelation. Look at the response of, look at the grace of God. Through, again, judgments that are horrible, right? Christ judging and bringing judgment and punishment on a Christ-rejecting, Christ-forsaking world. And the world is definitely affected, right? The waters, the mountains, the vegetation, the population. And when all this is going on, are the people crying out, oh God, forgive me, say no. In fact, there's two different instances. Rocks kill us. I'm not going to repent. Rocks fall on us. I'd rather die than repent. Wow, that's kind of the end of the line. Would you agree that they are so... Again, strong delusion Boy, and again, you can see that even in, I mean, you can see it. Can't you see it today? You know, let's save the toad, but let's kill the babies. Let's save the owl and the whale, but let's slaughter the babies. I mean, that's just so deluded. They're depraved in their mind. Totally depraved. And so you say that God, you know, God just isn't twisting their mind. I'm going to make you believe in me. You know, they choose. Their minds have become totally darkened and given over. I always say, boy, this doesn't make any sense, what they're saying and doing. No, it doesn't. Because they deny the truth. So Paul's saying, what's he saying to them? Why are you troubled? Don't be troubled. Has, again, the event, the falling away occurred. Has the man of sin, the man of the son of perdition, the man of the lawless one, has he been revealed? Has he set himself up in the temple? Has he demanded to be worshipped? Has he come with lying signs and wonders and power? Are they worshiping in the temple? No. Don't be troubled. You have not missed out. You are not in. There are people that we're in a tribulation right now. Today, they teach it. We're in the Great Tribulation. We're going through the Great Tribulation period. No. Paul's saying these things must take place. And they're signs. When you see these things, and the beauty of it is we're gonna see them from heaven. That's the beauty of it. We're gonna see these things. We're gonna see them from heaven. We're gonna be with the Lord when these things occur. So Paul says, don't be upset, don't be troubled. So now that you know these things, he just ends again, just like Paul. I think Paul would end. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. Brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you from salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. There's that heart of Paul. He's thankful. He loves them. He's so thankful for them. He's thankful that God has saved them and sanctified them, to which he called you by our gospel, and that's the only way they can come to the truth, for the obtaining of glory of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, in light of all this, you know what? Just hang in there. Stand firm. Stand fast. You know, almost ending again like he did in Ephesians and these other books. Stand, stand, stand. Do all you can. Stand. Hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistle. It's good. Paul's traditions are good. Hold to the word that I've taught you. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Stand fast, hold fast, just keep working. Keep doing that good work. Don't grow weary in doing good deeds and just serving the Lord. Just keep serving the Lord. Be encouraged. And all we have to do is, I love those last few encouragements. That's for us. And just keep that Maranatha in the forefront. Lord, come quickly. Man, I just want to occupy. I just want to serve you. I just want to love you. I just want to continue to worship you until that day. Lord, help us. Let's pray.